SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Monday, October 16th, live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, and welcome to hour number two. He is Donnie, I am Ben. And Donnie, the reason I highlight October is because don't forget, Major League Baseball playoff action rolls on. Game number one, the opening game of the American League Championship Series last night in Houston. A Texas tussle between the in-state foes, the divisional rivals, the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros. The Stros back into the ALCS for the seventh consecutive year. Texas, Donnie, looking to stay perfect in the postseason. All of that plus a preview of game number one of the NLCS tonight in Philadelphia. With game number two in Houston. Donnie, it's a beautiful time on the sports calendar here on the Early Line. We have National Football League reactions from Sunday. One more game on a Monday night. Of course, we broke down a huge weekend in college football. The WNBA Finals. But let's not forget the championship series on the diamond. The ALCS started last night. The NLCS into the fold on this Monday. Donnie, it's a good time to be with you here on TEL.
No, it certainly is. And by the way, we cherish these times, Ben. We have all this information. Mondays, most people show up to work like, oh my goodness, I'm dragging from the weekend. But you only have energy when you deal in sports from what we've dealt with, have to go over, and also the look aheads here. And you take a look at over the summer in Major League Baseball, the All-Star break. Boy, nothing to talk about for an entire week here. I love the fact that we have so much to talk about, which includes baseball games today, doubleheader, meaning like, yes, we're headed towards the World Series, a Monday night football game. And away we go as we welcome in the radio audience who's loving it as well. Right here on the Sports Grid Network. Yeah. This is the Early Line. He's Ben, I'm Donnie. Just kicking it here. Hour number two. Let's get after it.
DRS, let's get after it indeed. Last night in Houston, the defending champs welcome in their in-state rivals, the Texas Rangers. Not a far trip from Arlington to Houston, but being on the road is where Texas has thrived, DRS, throughout this October run. In fact, the Rangers remain perfect. A perfect 6-0 here in October. Texas has yet to drop a game, and four of those wins, Donnie, have come on the road, or maybe even five of those wins have come on the road for Texas. Yesterday, 2-0, blanking the Stros in game number one, winning outright as a plus 120 money line underdog. Justin Verlander, not half bad, but Jordan Montgomery was better. 6 1/3, Donnie, only allowing 5 hits to Houston, and worked shut out baseball last night as Texas steals game number one, 2-0, the victory for the Rangers.
Impressive. I mean, absolutely impressive. You're getting the ace on the mound here, Verlander, at home, a team that's favored to win. You handle your business because why? You've been doing that the entire playoffs all the way along. But how about this? There's never not any drama, it seems, in these type of games. You might see 2-0. Yeah. It was an easy walk-away winner. Did you see the eighth inning, the play by Carter up against the fence? Yeah. And let's not forget where we're playing. It's Houston. The Crawford boxes are 5 feet to the left. If that ball is hit slightly down the left field line, that's a 2-2 ball game. Makes the catch. There's actually nobody out, but also Altuve on first base. Runs to second base, forgets to tag up at second base and run back to first. A double play, which basically ended that game right there. But even though Houston didn't play well, still a legitimate chance to come back, weren't able to do it. But the focus, of course, is going to be on the pitching. As you stated, Verlander was good. Good enough to win that game. But Montgomery's just been sensational. Who would have thought at the beginning of the season? And again, there's no way you were going to think that, because why? You have DeGrom on your team. You add Scherzer. Montgomery's still in St. Louis. At this point, to have two pitchers being filthy in the playoffs that you didn't expect, that's how you win big games, big series, and win world championships.
And Donnie, that's the story for Texas, right? Having DeGrom in the winter, he was expected to be the guy that if Texas could capitalize on the optimism, he would start the opening game of any playoff series. Then DeGrom gets sidelined early in the year. Nathan Eovaldi, an all-star in the opening half, injured and looks like a shell of himself in 6 starts in September. So what do? You go out and make big acquisitions at the trade deadline. Welcome Mad Max. Max Scherzer injured. Not here just yet. although Scherzer saying he's going to pitch in this American League Championship Series. So Jordan Montgomery, the second guy that you got at the trade deadline, becomes your de facto ace, and boy, has he lived up to the billing. DRS, two shutouts already for Montgomery in three appearances so far in October. In the opening game of the opening wild card round, on the road in Tampa, Montgomery shut out baseball over seven innings. Yesterday, a 6 1/3 inning performance out of Montgomery. And Donnie, again, Verlander on the other side, back with Houston, wasn't terrible. Six hits, two earned run, a home run given up, but still not bad. It was just Montgomery that got the better of Verlander, and Texas got a couple of runs when they needed. And you mentioned Evan Carter, Donnie. He was sensational at the plate to start this playoff run for Texas. The 21-year-old rookie making immediate dividends for the Rangers. He was the top prospect in the organization, called up earlier in the regular season. And Donnie, he's been a huge contributor here on this perfect playoff run for the Rangers, 6-0 so far.
Offense and defense, Ben, take a look at him. 389 he's hitting in this playoff run, which is sensational. And sometimes to win some of these games, you expect some of your unheralded players to step up in the biggest moments here. How about the ninth batter yesterday, Leody Taveras, 2 of 2, which included a home run. And if we're taking a look at some of those odds to win the ALCS, which we'll get to, an 8-1 price here for him to win that. But this is what, look, Seager, you have to rely on your big guns. 389 so far also. But Carter, to be offensively and defensively that big in the biggest moments as a rookie ball player, I love what I see right now. Just riding high out here. We'll see what they do in game number two, but a great start for the Rangers.
Game number two is tonight, of course, in Houston. No days off for the American League Championship Series. Yeah. Framber Valdez gets the start for the Stros. It's Nathan Eovaldi on the other side. Houston, a -130 home money line favorite to even this series at one game all. But now it's Texas, DRS, booked as the favorite to win the ALCS. It was -172 overnight. We're not done just there. -210 now, live on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the Rangers as a hefty favorite to win the American League pennant. Corey Seager is the favorite to win the ALCS MVP. And Donnie, it's not just Houston having the postseason pedigree. It's not just the Astros as the 2 seed in the American League playoff bracket having home field advantage. Houston had Texas's number throughout the regular season. They won 9 of 13 games. Donnie, it's why when the Rangers lost 3 of 4 on the final weekend against Seattle and Houston swept the D-backs, because they finished with the same record at 90-72, it's why the Astros even won the division and have home field advantage, because they handled the Rangers in the regular season. Texas at least flipping the script so far here in October.
Yeah, Texas trying to thread the needle, too. You don't have home field advantage here in the ALCS, but then again, you'd have it home field advantage in the World Series if you get there. By the way, I am being told here, Apple Watches, trash cans, and binoculars delivered to the clubhouse in Houston today. Watch out. They're going to be on it for a must-win game, Ben.
Ugly scene, DRS. Ugly scene, but we never, never forget. The Diamond Dash next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is a huge day in October on this Monday. Game number two of the ALCS in Houston. The Astros trying to even the series at one game apiece. Can Texas stay perfect in the postseason and take a 2-0 series advantage over their in-state foe? It is also game number one tonight at the bank. In the city of brotherly love, the Philadelphia Phillies host the Arizona Diamondbacks in the opening game of the National League Championship Series. Donnie, before we get to all of that, let's take a big picture approach as all four teams remaining in October are in action on this Monday. Entering this CS round, it was the Astros, the defending champs, booked as the World Series favorite. Texas takes game number one. Now the Rangers, 10 cents in front of Philly, +180 live on the FanDuel Sports. Sportsbook, the Phils plus 190, that second best price. We have seen a slight change and some odds movement on this Monday morning. Houston plus 320, the third best number, and the D-backs round out this group of four at plus 450. Donnie, we have reached the point here, of course, in the playoffs that every result, every outcome, every day, we are going to see a rather dramatic shift into the future prices, whether it be in the series outright odds or as it pertains to winning a World Series.
And by the way, yes, we are going to see this change daily, meaning if the Philadelphia Phillies win today in game number two and the Texas Rangers lose, you know who's going to be the favorite to win the World Series? It's the Philadelphia Phillies. We're just going to be, looking at this on a day-to-day basis at this point. So I think the FanDuel Sportsbook, and also when we talk about, you know, in the past, right, you have to wait for these games to be over. If the Houston Astros are 5-0 in the third inning, you know who's going to be the favorite to win the World Series? It's going to be the Philadelphia Phillies because that game isn't even over yet. It'd be fun to watch all the way through. But having said, we're going to talk about the Philadelphia Phillies in just a moment here. What a big game for the Astros at about 4:45 p.m. today, though. That's going to be a big-time game for them.
We love a little afternoon baseball here in October on this Monday. Again, it's Framber Valdez getting the start for Houston. Nathan Eovaldi on the other side for Texas. We'll break down that game in a second. It's game two of the ALCS. It's game number one tonight in Philadelphia of the NLCS. DRS, for the first time ever, the Phils and the D-backs face off in the postseason. Arizona back into the National League Championship Series for the first time since 2007 or 2008. Of course, the Phils here for a second consecutive year, trying to win their second straight National League pennant. Tonight, it's as good of a matchup as you could hope for in the opening game of a series where a pennant is at stake. Zach Wheeler on the mound for Philadelphia. Zach Gallen gets the start for Arizona. Minus 162 DRS in favor of the Phils. What do you expect tonight at Citizens Bank Park?
A wild crowd and a wild atmosphere and an excited atmosphere that, you know, just trying to get over the Philadelphia Eagles loss. Because obviously, if you're a Philadelphia fan, you're rooting for all of those teams. But won't have any bearing on the game itself. That crowd will be ready to go tonight. And also, 54 degrees, light wind blowing in, no precipitation in the forecast. This is crisp October baseball. But we are just about close to Halloween coming up in a few weeks here. But make no mistake about it, the Monsters are on the mound tonight. Gallen and Wheeler. It should be fantastic to watch this. If we're just looking at numbers, and you know I'm a numbers guy, right? I like to take a look at the last 30 days, how they're pitching. We don't even have to go over the numbers. Let's just say both of these guys are really good. So the advantages have to come at the plate. Now, if we're taking a look at the Philadelphia Phillies, no bigger spot here for Bryce Harper. He's built for this. You know he's probably going to have a good NLCS. You take a look at guys that have to step up there. Trey Turner, who from the beginning points of the season, April, May, June into July, not playing good baseball. Fantastic since August on. But here's the linchpin that I want to take a look at this series between both ball clubs. Quality lineups 1-9, yes. Do you know who hasn't performed at all in the playoffs yet? It's Kyle Schwarber. And how many times do we see it during the regular season? Close to 50 home runs. But starting the game 1-0 with one mighty swing of the bat, you'll live with a 160 batting average as long as every three or four games he's leading off with a mammoth titanic shot to give you that jolt of energy for it. I'm waiting to see if he does wake up. Now, also looking at the series, right? The two starting pitchers with the hammers here are going to be Gallen and it's going to be Merrill Kelly, two right-handed pitchers. That helps Schwarber. If you took a look at that Braves series, it's like the Braves had, let's just say, 15 eligible pitchers. It felt like 14 were left-handed pitchers here, just designed to try to neutralize the left-handed bats of the Philadelphia Phillies. So if we're looking for one player who can be the catalyst who hasn't woke up just yet, it's Kyle Schwarber, Ben, for the Philadelphia Phillies.
DRS, when you look at that home run prop for Kyle Schwarber tonight, it is the shortest number on the board, plus 310. What would that do to the raucous crowd at the bank? Goodness gracious, they would be lit up from the very start. And DRS, we look at Zach Gallen getting the start for Arizona. The Diamondbacks back into a championship series, playing for a pennant in the first time in 15 years. And Donnie, this is a storyline we have followed all year long. You look at the home road splits for Gallen this year. At home in downtown Phoenix, 12-3 throughout the regular season, a 2.47 ERA. Donnie, if it was just based on the home numbers, Gallen, who is going to be a National League Cy Young finalist, would have locked up the award a long time ago. But you go back to the road numbers, 5-6 with a 4.42 ERA. That was in the regular season. And Donnie, the distinction is important because, of course, Gallen has made two starts so far for Arizona in October. Both have come on the road. He has won both of those games for the D-backs, only allowing two earned in both of those outings. He is a perfect 2-0 with a 3.18 ERA. And Donnie, his final road start in the regular season as well, six innings of shutout work in the Bronx against the Pinstripes, that was a crucial moment for Arizona to solidify what would end up being a postseason spot despite being swept in their final series of the regular season by the Houston Astros. So the last three road starts, DRS, for Zach Gallen have all been sensational. Some of those road struggles maybe not as apparent anymore for Gallen on these biggest of stages.
And by the way, Zach Gallen might be a far way here from Arizona at this point, but did you know he was a local kid growing up in South Jersey here? So right at home, probably has a lot of fans and been to that ballpark probably multiple times. So one of those angles here, it's like, hey, when Mike Trout comes home, you get that big ovation here. Not saying Zach Gallen's going to get any sort of an ovation, but he should be comfortable back here on the East Coast. And if we are looking at some of those numbers here, non-analytical numbers, if you match up over the past 30 days, what are we boiling it down to? Power sometimes wins a series. But these two pitchers on the mound tonight, a 115 ISO power number and an 099 ISO power number combined between left-handed and right-handed batters, Ben, over the past 30 days. You're going to have to hit a mistake pitch, and quite frankly, you might only get one per inning. So good luck trying to hit that here. But also, I talked about the Philadelphia Phillies and Kyle Schwarber on the national stage, and rightfully so. If you haven't heard the name, which I don't know how you have it, Corbin Carroll right now, watch out tonight. Yeah. He also leads off for the Diamondbacks and can provide that jolt. If you take a look at him, 60 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the last month. How about a 314 ISO and a 467 weighted on-base percentage? Two guys to get the party started in those leadoff roles. Watch out for those guys who perform tonight. Should be a good one.
DRS, at this hour, from Somerdale, New Jersey, which is, I believe, the pronunciation of Zach Gallen's hometown, it's only about a 25-minute drive to Philadelphia and Citizens Bank Park. DRS, you ever been to Somerdale, New Jersey?
I grew up. I lived 5 years in Somerdale, New Jersey. Played for the Magnolia Rams, Sterling High School. There you go. Come on, man. Somerdale pride. But tonight, we turn our backs. Yeah, we turn our backs.
Where's the best place to get a Taylor ham, egg, and cheese in Somerdale?
Maybe a Starview Diner, Whitehorse Pike. So not too bad.
Okay.
Not too bad.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I'm sure Zach stopped at his favorite spots on his trip back to Philadelphia. Yeah. The Phils, a -178 outright favorite to win their second consecutive National League pennant. Donnie, we'll have more time later in the show for the full breakdown of game number two tonight in Texas. But as you look at the odds here for the Astros and the Rangers, Houston a favorite to even the series. Your quick thoughts, DRS.
I don't know, man. I'm tired of looking at Eovaldi going like, yeah, he didn't pitch that well, Ben, after the, IL stint. Stop the madness. Pressure's on Houston. Should we go Texas? I'm leaning Texas.
The Rangers are perfect in the postseason. They are 6-0 in six games. Our weekend winners and losers up next on TEM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Weekend winners and losers all around the sports landscape live right here on this Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Three winners from the weekend that pleasantly surprised us or at least performed to the best of their abilities, and some losers we get to slander. It is very fun, Donnie. It's one of our favorite recurring segments here on a Monday looking back on the weekend. So DRS, with your three winners, start with winner number one.
Detroit Lions. The reason why I made them my winner of the week, because they were one of the few football teams at the top of the echelon in the NFC that absolutely delivered, and rightfully so. We should have known better coming into the season, where you saw the crescendo end last year and said, you know what, Green Bay, we're not going to the playoffs. We're just going to take you out into the deep water and drown you, as their head coach Dan Campbell will say, and they did that. The momentum coming into the season, they were gifted an opening night appearance against the world champion Kansas City Chiefs. Tatis performed and won that football game. Now, you might give a game away or two during the season. We understand that. But in one of those environments where we're trusting you to be the football team that we expect going on the road as a favorite against a winning football team in Tampa Bay at 3-1 and handle your business by two touchdowns, in the NFL yesterday, where so many teams faltered, the Lions did not do that. And as I said to start this show, they're putting themselves up there on that pantheon in the NFC that says, you know what? We're not looking at the 49ers and the Eagles as the teams are looking to track down. We're looking at those as peers. We're here on your level, and let's see what we can do the rest of the way. Loved what the Lions did. My winners of the week.
DRS, we are lockstep in a couple of these winners. I had Detroit at number two. Again, they are 5-1. And Donnie, let's start in the division, because what the Lions are trying to accomplish is something this franchise in the Motor City has not done in 30 years. The last divisional crown for Detroit, Barry Sanders was playing running back. The year was 1993. The Lions are now a -460 favorite to win the NFC North. It is ridiculous, that number by itself, but it shouldn't be surprising. The Packers are below 500, 2-3. The Vikings got their second win of the year yesterday against a Bears team that lost Justin Fields. He dislocated the thumb on his right throwing hand. We'll talk about it with Dr. David Chow in just a little bit. There is nobody really, DRS, elsewhere in the NFC North that I think can rival Detroit. So what that means, if the Lions accomplish what they are set out to do right now, now tied with San Francisco and Philadelphia for the best record in the NFC, we would expect, Donnie, Detroit to host at least one playoff game courtesy of winning a divisional title come January. There's a chance the Lions could host two playoff games come January, making their path to a potential NFC title game ridiculous. And Donnie, it wouldn't just be getting to a conference championship. Detroit not only hasn't won a division in the NFC or a division in the National Football League since 1993, the Lions, Donnie, haven't won a playoff game in longer than that since 1991. The Lions now 6-1 as the fourth best price to win an NFC championship at this moment. Donnie, my winner number one is your winner number two. Look at how we're in lockstep over this weekend. It's Michael Penix Jr., but you could make the point, of course, for the Washington Huskies overall. Michael Penix Jr., 302 yards, four touchdown passes, yes, an interception, but a QBR nearly at 90. He played the position the way that he has played it, really in his entire time in college football, but certainly since getting to Seattle. And he lived up to the expectation and all the hype entering Saturday against the fifth best passing defense in the national football, or in the all of college football, the Oregon Ducks, who get after the quarterback. They only sacked him once on Saturday. They were the fifth best passing defense, only allowing 154 yards per game. Penix Jr. put up more than 300. And because of it, Donnie, he is the favorite in an odds-on manner at -140 to win the Heisman Trophy. Michael Penix Jr.'s Washington Huskies the favorite to win the Pac-12, and DRS now the fifth best price to win a national championship at +950. The Huskies overall now ranked in the top five in the AP poll entering week eight as well.
Yeah, they're my number three winners of the week, and I just listen, not even a single player, just the Washington Huskies, which means the entire surrounding of game day approaching there, the excitement the crowd had, just an absolutely perfect day, sold out crowd, amped up, and also, I get a kick out of it. It's the air raid offense, basically, for Michael Penix, and every time they score a touchdown, that siren blasts out with the crowd going wild here, a massive performance, and maybe one last gift to the Pac-12, where maybe they can take a Heisman Trophy winner into maybe a college football playoff, and maybe win a national championship here. It's a fun football team, but overall for me, the entire state of Washington won on Saturday. I loved every bit about what the Washington Huskies brought, from their head coach, from their quarterback, to their fan base, to their uniforms, to everything here. The Huskies, big time winners.
DRS, who was your final winner of the weekend? Was it in the NFL?
Now, of course, it was the Jacksonville Jaguars. They, well, come on, man. They beat the Indianapolis Colts here with Gardner Minshew, a quarterback. That's not what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking to get back to playing winning football, three games in a row now, the team I always expected the Jacksonville Jaguars to be this season. Take control of that division. You're the most talented team. You're not supposed to slip up against a Gardner Minshew-led Indianapolis Colts team. I got them as my third winner of the week because, much like we start voting on the Detroit Lions, the Jacksonville Jaguars also handled their business when they were supposed to in convincing fashion.
Yeah, Detroit has seen their price grow incredibly strong to win the NFC North, but it was plus money before the year got underway in a division we expected to be competitive. Donnie, the Jacksonville Jaguars were an odds-on favorite to win the AFC South entering the year because not only had Jacksonville done that a year ago and found the optimism and paid it off with a victory in that wild card round against the Chargers, but because the AFC South with a couple of rookie quarterbacks and C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson and some questions in Nashville around the Titans was supposed to be bad. It's actually not that bad. The Colts are an even 500. The Texans are an even 500. And again, Mike Vrabel and the Titans are never going to make winning a football game against them outright all that easy. But the Jags DRS are a minus 150 odds on favorite again, returning to that price they had in the preseason. My final winner of the weekend, come on now. You know where I'm going. I'm going to Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, Iowa. An exhibition game yesterday for the Iowa women's basketball team against DePaul. All right, cool. Exhibition in a football stadium. What else? A final attendance DRS of 55,646 people crowded into Kinnick Stadium to watch an exhibition basketball game on a Sunday in October. Nowhere else but Iowa. And by the way, that 55,646 people that attended yesterday, the most attended women's basketball game in the history of the sport, blowing out, Donnie, the 29,000 plus people that did so for the 2002 national championship game between UConn and Oklahoma, almost doubling that attendance record. That is the beauty of Iowa women's basketball. That is the star power of Caitlin Clark, who, by the way, had a triple double in the exhibition match against the Blue Demons, 34 points, 11 boards, 10 assists. DRS, she hit a three on a windy day in Iowa City in front of 55,000 fans. It was a lasting memory that will follow Iowa women's basketball, Caitlin Clark, and really the historic sport that is women's hoops. DRS on the rise yesterday. A historic day inside Kinnick.
Yeah, we haven't seen that much offense since Brad Banks was that quarterback there for Iowa back 100% in the day at Kinnick Stadium. So there you go. We actually got some offense. But by the way, that is going to be a big story here. And I know we don't talk much about women's college basketball, but there's clearly a collision course between LSU and Iowa once again that we're going to be able to watch and play. But that's interesting that they had that many people for an outdoor game. And of course, superstars show up with triple doubles. It's the way it's supposed to be.
DRS, there's some thought that the Iowa Hawkeyes, who of course were the national runner-up, losing in that title game against LSU, with all the Bayou Bengals are returning, Angel Reese, now they get Haley Van Lith there in Baton Rouge as well, that maybe Iowa is going to fall off this year. I wouldn't be so sure to count out the Hawkeyes and Caitlin Clark. All right, our losers of the weekend, DRS, where do you begin?
Yeah, number one's the Louisville Cardinals for me. You take a look at last week. They beat Notre Dame. They're riding high here. You take a look at the record like, ooh, can they be contenders in the ACC? And then you go on the road against a bad football team and get smoked. All the injuries, and it was a little bit of a bad weather game. Same thing for Pitt here. They're not that talented. You're supposed to walk in there and handle your business and say, where's Florida State at? Where are they hanging at? We want a shot at Florida State. Now Florida State looks at you and goes, yeah, psh. I mean, a little paper champion over there trying to make some little bit of hay here during the regular season. That, for me, was the biggest loss because also that line opened up around 10, dropped to 7. Like, oh, are you getting value here on the Cardinals? Apparently not. The setup was in. They got busted, and they're my top loser of the week here.
DRS, the ACC is always there, right? Clemson has made 7 of the 9 college football playoffs in the history of this manner of deciding a national champion. The question for the ACC has always been its depth. And that took a big hit over the past 2 weeks. Louisville in a big spot, faltering. Miami with two opportunities to really have huge momentum this year under Mario Cristobal, faltering. We saw that in Chapel Hill on Saturday night. The Miami Hurricanes, my second loser of this weekend, because as you said, Donnie, Cristobal can recruit, but some of the coaching decisions in the game management is just not there for Miami. And what that means ultimately is falling in the biggest spots with the best opportunities. UNC routes them by double digits, absolutely explodes from the halftime break, scoring 21 points in the third quarter, and Miami suffers its second consecutive defeat in as many weeks. Donnie, it's the same tale for the Canes. Is the U back? Then they falter at ACC play. They'll give Florida State a run later in the year, but ultimately Miami's not going to be playing for a conference title. They're not going to be contending for a college football playoff. Yeah, maybe they'll get to 8 wins, but that's it for Miami. My first loser of the weekend. Donnie, we'll have a couple of minutes on the other side to continue to break this down. The USC Trojans. Wow. What a time it is for Southern Cal. An all-world quarterback in Caleb Williams, who might never win a conference championship. Wasted talent by USC. We'll continue with the weekend winners and losers on the other side of the break here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back live right here on the Early Line on this Monday. Before we look forward to the day in sports, Monday Night Football in Los Angeles, of course, a doubleheader of MLB playoff baseball. We continue to look back one final time on the weekend that was, our losers from this past weekend. Donnie and I both start out with a college football team, but my first loser, DRS, was USC. USC last year had a Heisman Trophy quarterback in Caleb Williams, who for a good majority of this first half of the season was also the Heisman Trophy favorite. Donnie, he had a bad game against Notre Dame. There's no doubt about it. He threw for less than 200 yards and a career-worst 3 interceptions against a really good pass defense for the Irish, third best in the country entering. But that's beside the point. Donnie, even entering the game in South Bend, Caleb Williams' price to win the Heisman Trophy got worse, not because USC had lost the game or because USC was in danger of losing this one in Notre Dame, but because the defense was so atrocious, the overall team outlook for Southern Cal moved back, and thus Caleb Williams' price to win the Heisman moved back as well, because the Heisman Trophy, Donnie, has been awarded since 1935. Caleb was looking to go back-to-back for only the second time in the history of this prestigious college football award, with the idea there was team success to grow because USC faltered in the Pac-12 championship game against Utah. If Caleb could lead his Trojans to a conference championship and a spot in the college football playoff, then maybe he was deserving of a second consecutive Heisman Trophy. Well, USC had their perfect season come to a close on Saturday in South Bend. The defense was not great. Neither was Caleb. And Donnie, the outlook for USC moving forward is not necessarily optimistic. Now 80-1 to win the national championship for the Trojans. And that's a really big indictment, in my opinion, Donnie, on Lincoln Riley and his testament and his adamant faith in his defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch, because those two are going to be responsible for wasting the talents of one of the best college quarterbacks we have seen in the last two decades. And the fact that with Caleb Williams at the helm, they are never going to win a conference championship or play in the college football playoff.
Yeah, we're not talking about Texas Tech on defense or Oklahoma State. It's like, hey, look, if I recruit really well, I'm just looking to pick up a quarterback and a couple wide receivers, and maybe we'll get some help with our defense. You're USC. You're supposed to just reach out and get five-star player after five-star player on your defense, where it's almost not even about the X's and O's. It's like, boy, we're really good out here. We just overrun teams. But there, it seems like they're just historically bad, which almost doesn't make any sense. This is the first year for Lincoln Riley out there. And also, SC has always had a pipeline, regardless of any coach, good or bad times here, getting those superstar players. So it is quite astounding where you take a look at USC, like, can we get two stops a game so we can win, as opposed to the days where you had under Pete Carroll with multiple first-round picks and a dominating defense to go along with a dominating offense here. So, yes, USC does deserve to be in the crosshairs, but it's not something that coming into the season we said, you know what, this defense should be really improved. We were still looking at this defense a little bit cross-eyed, saying, like, I wonder if they can perform, and maybe we're just trusting the talent's there. Number one, the coaching isn't there. Maybe number two, the talent isn't either there on defense as well.
They reached into the transfer portal, though, and they got some big-time acquisitions this offseason. But the defense and the questions that have arisen have not been answered. Donnie, I think Lincoln Riley should fire Alex Grinch. Do you think the Texas A&M boosters should fire Jimbo Fisher and pay his very large buyout?
The best part about Jimbo Fisher is here is you see him get interviewed. He just looks happy-go-lucky, like, man, I got a big contract. You want to come pay me out? Like, we talked with Ed Orgeron at the Super Bowl just a few years ago. Hey, yeah, did LSU did you wrong? What, did you see my bank account the following Tuesday? Once I know, they actually did me right. So Jimbo Fisher not operating under the guys like, oh, my goodness, if they fire me, what am I going to do? He's going to get like $75 million splashed into his bank account. But here's the thing I love about Jimbo Fisher. He did have a lot of success at Florida State. He did have a national championship. But I felt like the way way he was able to go into this arms race of coaches was, let me just perform decently here at Florida State. And if you have a poster, if Jimbo Fisher goes home at night and says, you know what, you know, you go into a dark house, you just get home from like a game, a road game, you click on the lights, there's probably an 8-foot poster slash painting of Dalvin Cook in his living room, because all he did was give the football to Dalvin Cook for 4 years. Like, look how great a coach I am at this point. It almost reminds me of Mel Tucker now, who's getting got fired at Michigan State, where Kenneth Walker III doesn't show up on campus. Mel Tucker doesn't get that deal anyway. It's amazing how much these players should be getting a contribution from the coaches. But looking at Jimbo Fisher and A&M, you can't make that much money. You can't circumvent the pay scale for the players and pay all five stars in here and not have any success here. Jimbo's got to go.
DRS, Jimbo Fisher still has $77 million remaining on his contract if the A&M boosters want to buy him out, if they fire him at any point or even after the 2023 college football season. A&M, who has never won more than 8 games under Jimbo Fisher, coming off a 5-7 year last year in 2022. He rode Jameis Winston to this 10-year deal, $95 million worth of it, and Texas A&M has already suffered 3 losses this year in their biggest spots against Miami, Alabama at home in College Station last Saturday, just a few days ago, of course, on the road in Rocky Top against Tennessee. DRS, our final loser is the same. Mine's the 49ers, not just because they suffered their first loss of the year against a backup quarterback in Cleveland and PJ Walker, booked as a 9.5-point favorite, but because there's going to be some injury questions to answer now for San Francisco, both Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel exit the game early against the Browns.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Doc comes on and tells us about some of those injuries. But for me, my losers also, I doubled them up. I went 49ers and Eagles, not because of the performances they actually had yesterday. Not even because, quite frankly, the Eagles are my team and they took a loss, or the Niners, you expected more if you had them in your eliminator pool, whatever it may be. The fact of the matter is I have to listen to one more time. You know what that is? Champagne bottles cracked. 72 Dolphins. Yep. 50 years here. Come on. So you guys went like 7-0 because that's all you played back in 1972. Yep. Congratulations here. I got to hear about it again and again and again. Yep. Stop the madness.
DRS, no undefeated teams after only 6 weeks of the NFL season. All right, now we move it forward to Monday Night Football. Week number 6 comes to a close tonight in Los Angeles. The Cowboys looking to bounce back after a dismal performance last Sunday night in Santa Clara against those 49ers. The Chargers fresh off a bye, looking to post a winning record, 2-2, entering the bye this time around. DRS, the Bolts, a slight home underdog, and I mean very slight. It's a 1.5-point spread in favor of Dallas, the over-under at 50.5. Donnie, what's the breakdown for Monday Night Football in L.A.?
Yeah, the breakdown for Monday Night Football is simple here. Are the Dallas Cowboys the team that we saw against the San Francisco 49ers, or are they the team that we saw in some of those easy victories against not-so-quality opponents? You're actually going to get a quality opponent tonight in the Chargers, and also, if you're thinking you're getting the Chargers at a discount here, now's the time to play them. Not rightfully so here. You saw the last game, a little bit of finger, I think it was a finger surgery that Herbert had.
Correct.
He's going to be back. He's playing full practice all week long. Doesn't look like that's going to affect him, but also, Austin Eckler back into the fold. One of the most dynamic offensive weapons here, finally healthy, fully practiced all week long. So for the Dallas Cowboys, there is a little bit of pressure on them coming into this game, because you want to wipe that taste out of your mouth that you saw against the San Francisco 49ers. It's back-to-back road games for them. I get that. But if we're looking at Dak Prescott tonight, doesn't it feel like he has to deliver in this game? Multiple touchdown passes, 250-plus yards here. Because you can throw on that Chargers secondary, but the Chargers also getting a boost here. I saw earlier this morning, you got Khalil Mack on one side, and Joey Bosa is going to be playing in this football game, or at least giving it a go tonight. Dak Prescott needs to step up in a big way, but you know what? I don't know if he will. Now, if he throws for 225 and 2 scores or 3 scores, so be it. I think the Chargers are going to be able to move the football in the Dallas Cowboys. I like the Chargers tonight as the slight dog at home on Monday Night Football.
And DRS, that 1.5 spread could be important. The Chargers, all 4 of their games so far this year, they've won 2, they've lost 2, have been decided by a single score. 13 of the 17 last year for the Bolts, decided by a single score. Now, Dallas, in their 3 wins, has been as impressive as any team around the NFL. Of course, they've covered in all 3. Donnie, but for me, it's not necessarily Dak, although that offense needs to be better. It's the defense, because the two losses this year for the Cowboys, rather unsurprisingly, both games have gone over. We have a hefty over-under tonight at 50.5. Two of the three wins for the Cowboys have stayed under. The only over in that, 40 total points with a total of 39.5, week number two against the New York Jets. I look at the Dallas defense, and then, Donnie, you're right. I look at Dak taking advantage of a porous Chargers secondary, even with that great pass rush of Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. The back end has been getting throttled. Donnie, they give up nearly 300 yards per game. And yes, they gave up well more than 400 week number one against Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins. But Ryan Tannehill threw for nearly 250 yards. Yesterday, Tannehill, who left the game early in the fourth quarter, threw for 76. Kirk Cousins threw all over the Bolts as well week number three. There is opportunity for Dak Prescott, Donnie, to go over 253.5. But he's been under that number in three of five games for Dallas this year. Has never thrown for more than 261 yards. He is also favored to throw an interception. It's minus 130. Dak threw three picks against San Francisco, Donnie. He has thrown four picks in the two losses for the Cowboys this year. I don't know how many times I need to compare the quarterbacks to get to this graphic, but Donnie, I think it's a big matchup tonight on Monday night in L.A.
Yes, it is a big matchup here. And also, you're right about Dak Prescott needing to show up in the biggest spots. But you know what? Forget about betting on, let's just say, Tony Pollard. Forget about betting on Dak Prescott and his yards. You know what I'm looking forward to? CeeDee Lamb tonight. He's got to get after that secondary here. If he's open, Dak's got to be able to deliver the football. And one of those favorite betting strategies that we look at, how about when you have a wide receiver that's upset? Maybe a wide receiver that's not fully integrated into the offense this season like he believes he should be. We usually see those mouths get fed. And I think CeeDee Lamb is going to get fed tonight. Let's also take a look at that Dallas Cowboys defense, who right foot, it's very talented as is. But look at the way they opened up the season here. You played the Giants opening night. Daniel Jones, terrible quarterback. You played the New York Jets, not with Aaron Rodgers, but with Zach Wilson. You played Arizona with Dobbs. You played New England with who knows what they're going to be running out of quarterback in the next few weeks, but that was Mac Jones. And then you got thumped against San Francisco as you had a competent quarterback in Brock Purdy. Yeah. Justin Herbert is more than competent at quarterback. That's why I'm looking for a lot of points in this game, and I'm leaning towards the Chargers as one. I think they get it done. But maybe my favorite prop in this game, not Austin Eckler, not taking a look at even Keenan Allen. It's actually CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb should have a big game in a dome tonight. That's what I'm looking forward to watching tonight in betting.
274.5 is the passing yards prop for Justin Herbert. The last time we saw him against the Las Vegas Raiders, he fractured a finger on his non-throwing hand, the left hand, and they had surgery during the bye week. He's expected to play. We'll ask Dr. Chow, what does the left hand of a righty quarterback have to do with how effective he might be tonight? But the Cowboys, the second best passing defense in the NFL, but Donnie's right. Are some of those numbers because of the competition they have played? And Joshua Dobbs actually was quite explosive against that Dallas defense week number three. Austin Eckler expected to return tonight. DRS, we only saw him week number one for LA. In that game, 16 carries, 117 yards, a touchdown, four grabs, 47 yards. He's a guy that can do it all. Minus 220 DRS to find the end zone tonight.
Oh, man, not talking about any value on that end. If you're going to have to up the ante, maybe go two touchdowns plus in order for that spot. But if we're looking at a game that's in the 50s, you know, we're not going to worry about yesterday. Ooh, it's getting October. It's crisp weather. There's a lot of wind out there. Maybe some rain. Not going to be that case tonight in a dome. You're going to have a fast track tonight and weapons all over the field. Michael Parsons also can be a weapon on defense tonight, too. Good game to sort of end the week with.
Yeah, a really good Monday night football game. Again, it's only a 1.5 spread, slightly in favor of the boys on the road in L.A. A lot of Dallas fans expected in SoFi Stadium with a total of 50.5. We'll talk more Monday night football. What's the best bet? We hear from you up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live here to close out hour number two of a Monday Live on the early line on SportsGrid. It's Ben. It's Donnie. It's the new Sports Grid app. Is it new at this point? It's just the Sports Grid app, available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen in a matter of moments, you will have all of our information, all of our insight available in the palm of your hand. It is smarter to be on Sports Grid. Don't we know it? All right, DRS, Monday Night Football tonight in LA to end out week number 6. It's the Chargers. It's the Cowboys. Dallas booked as a 1.5-point road favorite. Very slight on the spread. A total of 50.5. So what is the best bet for Monday Night Football? We find out right now in Fade the Public. DRS, the last few times we have done a Fade the Public poll for a best bet entering a primetime NFL game, you have been on the opposite side, and it has served you very well, including last Monday, of course, the Raiders, who ended up beating the Packers outright in Las Vegas. Donnie, you just said as we were breaking down the game, you like the Bolts tonight as the slight home underdog. So too does the public. More than 38% of this vote backing LA as the slight home money line and spread underdog. Donnie, does that concern you at all, you and the public in lockstep?
No. No, it doesn't, because usually the Cowboys are a very big public betting option here. So I'm actually mildly surprised here that the Chargers only, and we're not talking about 3.5, 6.5 points, 1.5, which means they're probably going to have to win this game outright for you to cover that number. 38% makes a lot of sense. And also, sometimes we like to section these off, over and under, more going to the over 50.5 points than the under 50.5. So I'm agreeing here with the public on both sides of the equation here. Go, Chargers, go.
Go, Chargers, go, as everybody in Los Angeles would say. Donnie, I look at the other side of things. I don't really love the side in this game because I'm not sure what Dallas team we're going to see. But if the game is competitive, I think that favors the Cowboys defense. I might lean under 50.5. We'll continue to break down Monday Night Football when Hour 3 starts in 55 seconds.